Flavorfest family, what's going on? It's Friday. It's 12 o'clock. We back. It's actually 12:01, but we back. We in the building. Last weekend I was in New York City, but I'm back in Tampa today. I'm at the Crossover Podcast Studio. Listen, did you know that like 89% of people want to write a book? 89% of people. I think it might actually be higher than that, but that's a stat that came out. But only 1% actually do it. So today we're going to talk to a guy that helps people get into that 1%. He was at Flavorfest in 2022. So if you've ever thought about writing a book, like lean in a little bit. We're going to talk to my guy, Peter Lopez, today. Welcome to the Flavorfest Leadership Podcast. Let's go.
Welcome to the Flavorfest Urban Leadership Podcast, where we talk to innovative artists, creative pastors, church planners, entrepreneurs, and people creating movements. Our goal is to inspire and equip you in ministry, music, and the marketplace. I'm your host, Tommy Urban D. Colonna.
Yeah, so I got my guy with me, my man Peter.
Let's go.
Lopez, what's up, baby?
Let's go, bro. I love the lighting. I actually, my podcast room was taken, my room. Somebody else is using it. But I love the lighting, the professionalism. I look like I have like, you know, 1972 background here. So, but you look like you had a professional studio there. Your skin looks glistening, nice and bronze. Like you just got off my teeth.
Yeah, it looks like I got a nice tan and everything. But you know, we in Florida.
We're good. We live.
I got the nice skin tone. But yeah. So what's up, everybody? We're glad you guys are jumping on. Got my guy Peter on here. He was at Flavorfest in 2022. And man, Peter, tell everybody just a little bit about your background, your story. It's been great building with you. We've known each other for now probably almost 2 years, and we've been collaborating on a bunch of different things. But we both from up north, man. So tell them a little bit about the Peter Lopez background, bro.
You know, I grew up where hip hop was invented. I grew up in the South Bronx.
So when baby.
it comes to culture, you know, South Bronx, PS 29. Kennedy High School, took the number 4 train to the 6 to the Q. So, you know, I grew up in New York, born and raised. Parents came from Puerto Rico, part Italian too, so we migrated there. And I've been in technology early when DVD technology came around, when software came around. I evolved into that. And actually was part of like one of the first iTunes launches with a guy called Nolan Bushnell, where Steve Jobs was an employee there at the time. So, you know, did that for about 20 years. And then like the last, say, decade and a half, I've been doing book publishing. And it's been very rewarding because you said something on the start of the podcast, like 89% of people want to write a book, 1% actually does. And that is crazy. Like, yeah. Those are real numbers. And that's according to New York Times. So, you know, New York Times is a real publishing newspaper. And they did that stat, and I think it was like 7-8 years ago, and I think that stat is still true, because if you look at how many ebooks are and audiobooks are on Amazon, maybe 8 million compared to 8.9 billion people. So yeah, it's the numbers are still there. So I've been doing publishing the last 12-13 years, and we connected about a year ago, and we've been doing some great things together. So I'm just happy to be on the podcast. The intro was fire. Everything you do is with excellence. I was just telling a friend of ours that we know mutually that I like that you always have that excellence. Like, just because, you know, you have a kingdom culture doesn't mean you have to look like, you know, a 1982, like my background here. So I definitely love what you're doing, man.
Thank you, bro. Man, I think because we have a kingdom culture, we should always be like elevating and taking it to the next level. Our theme at Crossover Church for 2023, we just revealed it 2 weeks ago on Vision Sunday, and it is rebrand, change the narrative about the church. And because the brand of the church a lot of times is outdated, it's old school, it's, you know, become a whole lot of negative things.
Yeah.
Out of touch, boring, all those things. And we have the greatest message in the world. And, you know, our brand, first and foremost, should be Jesus said, John 13:35, they should know my disciples by our love. And a lot of Christians aren't known for their love. They're known for the stuff that they're hating on or they're against or they're, you know. And so we got to turn up the love. And we are the church. I'm the church. You are the church. If you have a relationship with Jesus and you're watching this, you are the church. And so we got to rebrand ourselves and change the narrative. And so one of the things for us, man, I'm, you know, glad you pointed it out. Excellence is a big thing for us. And a lot of times in the urban culture, excellence many times is almost downgraded because it's like, oh, well, he's just doing it for God. That's okay.
Yeah.
Like, nah, man, if you're doing it for God, you should like level up. Like your singing, your music, your writing, everything, it should be on an elevated level, yo.
Mediocrity is unacceptable when you have an excellence culture. Like I believe that when you do things at 100, you know, excellence is the key. And I like what you said. Like, if you're not going to have that excellent mindset, you know, then everything you do is mediocre. And like, literally, we've replaced, you know, regular with mediocre. Oh, let's just do it. But I like that mindset of like, no, I'm going to do it right. I'm going to make it excellent. You know, it takes a little more work. It does a little more investment to have a podcast like that, to have the lighting, to have the sound. It does a lot of work. You know, our studio, we've invested a lot of money, and it costs time and money. So excellence, you know, when excellence is around mediocrity or mediocrity is unacceptable.
If you're watching this and you're like, man, well, I don't have all that stuff yet. Excellence, you got to start with excellence where you're at. And there's been many times over the course of Crossover's history, the church that I've been part of and been leading for a minute, where we didn't have all the money, we didn't have all the bells and whistles, but what we had, we would always maximize. And so whatever program, whatever camera, we would figure out how to tweak it and get the right light. And a lot of times stuff was like rigged up. If you could see behind the curtain, it was put together with bubble gum and duct tape and everything. But, you know, do the best with what you have. And I mean, it goes back to the biblical principle, Matthew 25, if you're faithful with little, God will give you a little bit more. You're faithful with that, God will give you a little bit more. And that's really been our story. When we started this podcast 2 years ago, I mean, we always did it in excellence, but we didn't have our own equipment. We had somebody that would come in. Our guy, Trey Dale, would come in and film it. And Trey did a great job. I love him. Shout out to him. But we'd have to arrange schedules and this and that. And he was always great with editing. I highly recommend him. He's fast. He gets it done quick.
Trey's a man.
But eventually we were just like, we wanted to do multiple podcasts. My wife is doing a podcast in here now. My executive pastor does a podcast. My worship director does. And so we're like, man, if we could create, we saw my guy Ruslan, shout out to him. He came and actually helped us set this up to get the right equipment. And there's still more that we're going to add to it. We don't have all the bells and whistles yet. We have one camera. We want to get a couple more. And so we can, you know, be able to switch angles and stuff like that. But you know, we got some of the little things that, you know, is making it better and better all the time. And so, you know, I'm pressing some little buttons on this thing. So we're learning it. We're getting better. You know, we got the little horn for you when you drop some knowledge, bro.
That's it.
But,
you
got to start where you're at.
You know, there's a book by Jim Collins, and, you know, it's called From Good to Great. And he said something he said, good is the enemy of great.
Yeah.
And it just can't be good. You got to always shoot for greatness. Because if you shoot for greatness, then you have a target. And even if you miss it, you come close to it, right?
Yeah.
It's like excellence, great. You know, I'm going to wake up and do this great. I'm going to be great today. Because even if you miss being great or doing great things, you at least get close to the target. So I love that book. Actually, you know, recommend the books. Good to Great is one of the best books I've read when it comes to excellent culture. And he talks about how these, you know, Berkshire Hathaway, you know, Apple, Microsoft, they always had that greatness target. And that's something you got to wake up with. Like, yo, today, what do I need to do today to be great?
Yeah.
So I think that's what I like. Like you said, I don't have the three cameras, like you said. I don't have all this. I don't have someone, but I'm going to be great with what I'm doing today. And then that evolves to it. Because once you hit that lid of greatness, man, it just keeps going higher and higher, you know? So I love this conversation about being great and being excellent, because that's who we are. We should have that mentality of, we're kings, right? We're priests. We're you know, we have this embedded thing in us that we're called to change the world. So every time I do something, I'm like, will this change the world? Will this impact the world? Will this change not just this person's lives, but 1,000 lives? Like I would, one of my coaches would say, you know, one book can change 10,000 lives, or 10,000 lives could change one book. So it's like, the key is that, just to have that mentality of being good. Being great. So that's it.
Yeah, speaking of books and impacting all those people, like Peter and I are doing a webinar entitled Why You Should Write Your Book in 2023. Yeah. A lot of you guys that are watching this right now are leaders. You've been thinking about writing a book. You've been dreaming about it. Maybe you got a concept. You got a title. Maybe you even started on it. But we're going to do a webinar this coming Thursday night. So whenever you're watching this, it's actually going to be February the 2nd is the Thursday night. We're going to be doing it at 8 o'clock. There's a link in the bio of this video so you can like register. We'll send you the link for it. But it's called Why You Should Write Your Book in 2023. Yes. We're going to give you 5 reasons why you should do it. And then we're going to give you 5 obstacles that you normally will hit. And we're going to give you some, so hopefully we're going to propel you and push you to get you over that hump. Right, Pete?
that webinar, man, is honestly, we talk about how we've both made over 100K with books. And it's no lie. If people think you don't write books to make money. You write the books to cement your expertise. But the book will open up, you know, 25% of business. It would open up speaking engagements. It would open up podcasts. Like usually, like when Oprah invites someone, she's like, author of, you know, best-selling author of. Like a book is the best vehicle. Like even if you're, you know, I've been talking to a lot of rappers and I'm like, it's cool you're a rapper, but imagine you coming out with a book. That changes who you are. So everybody, you know, there's 10 rappers on stage, but there's a difference when there's an author, artist, rapper, and entrepreneur. So that book really defines your entrepreneurship journey. You know, I told someone, man, before you start a business, write a book. Because that would be the ultimate business plan for yourself. So that webinar, you know, it's fire. That webinar is the top, one of the best. We drop a lot of knowledge because between us, there's thousands of books that have been published. Between us is traditional, self-publishing, hybrid, bestseller, you know, all this marketing, pre-marketing. So whether you have a book or you're looking to do a book, I think this is one of the best, cleanest, crisp, simple webinars that we give a lot of value. Like you, if you want to launch a book by yourself, this will be the webinar. You know, so I think it would be.
So the link is in the bio. Check it out. Thursday, February 2nd.
Yeah. We should have an offer code or something today, man. It's, you know,
we'll talk
I know
about
it's
at the end as well. Yeah, we'll drop a free. You're gonna get a free ebook of my new book. Actually, well, re-release.
Oh, snap! Rebuild.
There it is, baby. Did you see this yet, Pete? Did you get one of these in your hands?
Yep, I got them. I got like 20 of them, man.
Dope. Yeah. So today, Pete, for a little bit, man, I want to talk to you about, you are like the publishing guru, the publishing czar. And so a lot of people follow you on social media.
I'm wearing my fresh new t-shirt for you today, bro.
There, man. You're always dropping gems and dropping knowledge. So I kind of titled today's podcast of like the new model of publishing. So talk to us a little bit about like this new model. You like to call it like hybrid publishing. Yeah. And tell people,
I remember when I tell you that, you're like, what?
Yeah, I didn't even know, but that's what I'm doing, you know?
Yeah, so like, exactly.
Break down what that means a little bit, man. And then we're going to get into like, I want to talk about NFTs. I want to talk about like how artists, you know, can do stuff with that. And we'll talk about books for artists as well. I know a lot of artists watch this.
You know, back then, and I want to record this too. You see, we're always creating content. You always got to document everything, right? So back then, people would go to traditional publishing companies. So they would type their manuscript and they would pray to get an offer. So the first thing you needed in the traditional publishing world was a literary agent. If you didn't have a literary agent, you were done. Literary agents are the pitching people. That's actually this guy called Tom Dean is a good friend of mine. He's one of the ex high level for HarperCollins, and he's been a good source of mentorship and coach. But if you didn't have a literary agent, you were in trouble, or you had to be like a Stephen King, a Chuck Swindle, a C.S. Lewis. You had to write something that was out of the box. So you would pray and hope you got a traditional contract, right?
Yeah.
And those agreements, right? Let's just use the term. They were like slave contracts because they would take all your rights. They'll take all your royalties. You know, a 360 deal, they own everything, meaning they will own your name in perpetuity. Like you're signing your life rights. Like book publishing is more powerful than music publishing. Because music publishing, yeah, they'll take the rights of your music. Book publishing takes the rights of everything, like everything. We just did a book for a girl that she's got like 3 million followers on TikTok. Her book is fire, like it's a cookbook, and I'm going to promote it real soon. And, you know, publishers were like, oh, we want to own your TikTok. We want to own your Instagram. We want to tell you when to post and when not to post.
Wow.
Is that crazy? So that's what publishers would do, like the top five. You know, I'll call them out, you know, Penguin, HarperCollins, you know, all those publishers houses, they become a billion-dollar industry. Publishing, at its core, it's a $100 billion industry. You add Marvel Universe, right? That's $1 trillion, right? So Google's a publishing company. YouTube's a publishing company. So these publishing companies will be like, we're going to give you a nice little contract. We're going to get an advance. You people thought you would get an advance, a lot of money. $10,000, but you never get the $10,000. We're going to put that $10,000 towards marketing.
Yeah.
So now your book becomes a bestseller, right? You might get like a, you know, a $5,000 check while the publisher makes $1 million. And now you have no ownership of your content, no ownership of your next three books. They decide when it comes out. And what they do is they will ride that pony till it's dry. That means, you know, once Stephen King dies, they're going to be in trouble. Once for Zondervan and HarperCollins, you know, once Chuck Swindoll's done, they're just going to be replicating those books. All you see is like, you know, all these all famous authors, they just re-replicate your books. So you become like that back channel person. What's happened in the last 6-7 years is you don't need those people anymore. Even like what's happened in the music industry, right? You remember you got signed to a label and you had to wait. You don't need that anymore. No. You have total control.
Yep.
Total control of everything you need. I was just hearing this guy, like he had 7 million views. I forgot his name. And he was just reading out all the record deals that he churned out. And it's like, yeah, man, you don't need that anymore. If you understand that you need to own your name. You know what's the craziest thing? I tell people, hey, did you buy your name on GoDaddy? Like, what do you mean? Did you buy your name on GoDaddy? Because that is the internet. So,
yeah.
Peter Lopez Jr., I mean, Peter Lopez.
You were telling me all about it.
Huh?
You were telling me all about it. I do have my TommyColonna.com. And
yeah, you got to have. That would be like, it's $11.99
yeah.
a year on GoDaddy or Google domains. Just buy your name first. Because the internet is where everyone's going. So all your content has to be pushed there. And when you own your book, you own your rights. Let me tell you something. Whoever owns your rights owns your life. David Chappelle at one point, he even talked about it on a Netflix special that he could even use David Chappelle because he gave up perpetuity, ownership of that name. You know, Prince had to change his name to The Artist because he gave up his name. So once you give up your rights, you give up your life. You give life. That means I know publishers now, and I'm working with production, you know, major production deals that we're doing rights. We own a part of the rights, not all your rights. That means that, you know, Alan Malnick, when he purchased Hollywood Studios, he said, man, I think he purchased Simon & Schuster because he's like, if I can get the publishing company, I own all the stores. And that's how he created, you know, that's how he purchased the rights to The Godfather. So these publishing companies are in connection with the music industry, with the movie industry, and they'll reach out to them to, you know, understand that. Reese Witherspoon's just sold her company for $1 billion. Hello, Sunshine. Because that's because of the rights. So whoever has the rights, you know, that means if I own your rights, I don't even got to talk to you. Yeah. You're not even important to me. I published your book and I do whatever I want, and you might get 7% of that. So that's the importance of rights. Like I'm going on a rant about rights because
so
that
you
is your
life. Rights if you do hybrid publishing.
Exactly.
You're in keep full your control. Rights. So let me give an example. So I do this now. You know, I started my own publishing company in 2018. It's called Translation Leadership. And if you're watching this on YouTube, Boom, you can see, like, I created a book in the box, and I was able to do because a book and a masterclass, because I was in full control of it, 100%. Here's the other thing about books, guys. If you write a book and you have a contract with a traditional publisher, which I had a couple of times before, you turn your manuscript in, it generally takes 12 to 18 months for them to then release your actual book. In 12 to 18 months, some of the stuff I wrote about might not even be as relevant. You know, not saying that you want to write about stuff that's always in the moment, but still, like, you might not even be as passionate about that thing in 18 months from now. It's like 18 months is like an eternity, especially in our post-pandemic world. Everything moves so fast. And so let me give you an example with the Frames book. I was able to come up with the concept with this, put it in a box. Inside of it, there's actually a pair of sunglasses. There's a pair of frames. Oh, Pete, this one doesn't have a pair of frames. I got to put a pair of frames in that one. And the book is in there, CDs, some different stickers and flyers and cool stuff. But here's the thing. I started writing that in October 15th of 2021. I started writing that. I turned that into you and your editing team like in February. And then they edited it, and then I came up, oh, my gosh, I gotta, I don't know if you remember this, I got to add another chapter. Like, there's another chapter I still need to add.
Just like every typical author.
It's going to be seven chapters, but now, like, no, it's supposed to be eight chapters, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I was like, so anyways, I threw that in. You guys edited that really quick, got it back to me. First week of March, it's going into, like, design. And so the book launch party was April 8th, and that's when you told me, like, yo, bro, there's a paper shortage. I'm like, nah. Like my the guy that makes my book in Jacksonville.
The paper shortage, remember that?
Right. So I hit them up, and on Monday, like I hit them up on a Saturday. We were together, and on Monday they hit me up. They're like, yeah, we're looking for paper right now. I'm like, oh my gosh, what are we gonna do? And so like it was the second week of March that all the design and everything was 100% done. We're ready to go to print. Normally, I get it done in Jacksonville. They get it back to me within like a week, week and a half. I just reprinted one of the books that we give out here at church. It's a devotional book, Next Steps on Your Spiritual Journey. And they have paper now. And so they got me the book in like a week and a half. And so it's back to normal. But so I'm like, oh, man, I got plenty of cushion time. I got like a month. You know, man, we got my book on Tuesday and the book launch party was Friday. But but the point is that I'm making through all that is that you can move really fast when you are in this new model of publishing where you do it yourself. You have your own white label, your own brand. Like right now, I'm just starting to write my next book, which I'm going to tell you today what the title is. I'm going to put it out there because I was on the phone with my business coach this morning and he was like, you need to start talking about it now. You just start dropping nuggets on it now. So you're going to hear it here first right now.
Let's go. Give me one of the points, a chapter.
Here it is. The book is called, it's going to be called, that I'm going to come out with this fall, is going to be called It's Gotta Be the Shoes. It is going to be about sneaker culture and faith coming together. And so I'm a little bit of a sneakerhead. I've always loved Nikes. And so we're going to talk about sneaker culture. We're going to do a full color book. It is going to come in a, not just a box, Pete. It's going to be a sneaker box, bro.
Man,
you're going to open that mug up. It's going to have the paper in it and everything. It's going to have some other goodies. And we are also going to do some special edition Jordans with a special colorway that are going to be customized with the It's Got to Be the Shoes branding on it. I got somebody in my church that does customization of kicks. And so I've already got her in the queue. I've already got a lineup from another friend where I can get J's in bulk. Real J's. And so, yo, just wait. This fall, it's going to be crazy. Listen, it's got to be the shoes, bro.
You got to record this now. We got to send them a clip. It's called MySneakerPalace.com, and they're in Tampa.
I got to go see your guy, bro.
This dude.
We're going to do a book launch party, bro, sometime in October. I got to lock
it
in.
We got to reach out to my boy.
We're going to have a sneaker show.
We got to do it.
And a sneaker show and a hip-hop concert. And probably a podcast all tied in together.
Yeah, with food, that'd be crazy.
And networking. It's going to be bananas, bro. So
I'm gonna have to whip out my Air Force Ones for that one. I can't go. I can't be wearing some cheap. Oh, bro, I bring the Pro Keds, bro. The original Pro Keds. People don't know what those are.
The Pro Keds, bro. Like, break them out, man. So yeah, man. So Pete, you're kind of like a guru. You're always kind of on the cutting edge. I love like learning from you. You know, talk a little bit about NFTs. I know they haven't been like as popping or sexy right now because crypto has went down, but the crypto market is starting to come back now. It's got a little bit of life. It's coming back. Bitcoin is and Ethereum are going back up, and NFTs are at the end of the day, it's a digital version of what you have on the blockchain. And so explain a little bit more about NFTs, man, and the possibility with books and music.
This is the thing about you people when they think about NFTs, they connect it to crypto, which is two separate worlds.
Yeah.
NFT, the non-fungible token, it has a smart contract embedded to it. And this is where the world is going to change. What happens with NFTs, people start buying the apes and the doodles and the monkeys and all that stuff. And everybody was creating NFTs. And then what happened was the market got saturated, it fell apart, and now it has a bad name. But NFT is really a software embedment that goes into a digital file. That is the game changer. The back end system is more powerful than the front end system.
Yeah.
So just think about this. If I give you an ebook, right? All you get is one royalty from that ebook. But if I embed a smart contract inside that ebook and convert it to an NFT, then I can have a perpetual royalty to it. I can embed tickets into it. I could put master classes into it. The software is the most powerful tool in NFTs.
Yeah.
So right now there's going to be people like, I don't care about NFTs. It doesn't matter. We're still going forward with that because that's where the world is going.
Yeah.
If you think crypto and NFTs is going to fall apart, you're crazy. We're in a virtual world. Look at what we're doing right now. We are right now in two separate places speaking on one entity, right?
Yeah.
Everything is going there. The pandemic changed the game. Fortnite changed the game. You know, Call of Duty changed the game. Mm-hmm. Facebook changed their name into Meta. You think these guys are stupid?
Yeah.
You think, why would they take a brand that's worth $1 billion and rename it? That is suicide when it comes from a branding point of view. You know, Oculus, everything is going to be a virtual world. So NFTs is going to be part of that. So for artists, as a music artist, if you are not in that space, you know, people say, oh, you know, they've called me the czar, they call me the guru, I take the name because that's what I study these things and I look at the trends. Ebook never replaced the soft cover book, it enhanced it.
Yeah.
Until this day, ebook and paperbacks fight, right? You know, people like, oh, people ain't buying books anymore. That's the stupidest. You see, just when I hear these statements, books have outsold, billions of books being outsold. Amazon, the richest company, the company of the world, is a book company. It started selling books in the back of his, you know, car, you know, used, you know, college books. So NFTs is going nowhere. You know, crypto, it is what it is. And all these scandals, that's going to happen because what happened, everybody gets the gold rush. Think about the dot-com boom. I was there, Tommy. I worked for a company that we were at $3 over the counter, $3 OTC. That means before you go to NASDAQ, before you go to, you know, the S&P, you sell your stock on OTC, over the counter, right? So we were a technology company and we had the back-end system to secure data. That was like, you know, it was unknown. Once we went public, we were listed on NASDAQ. We went from like $3 to $47.
Wow.
So think about this. I was balling. Mm. Bought a house, bought a car. You know, the parking lot all had, it started with Hondas and Datsuns and Toyotas. And
that's the Puerto Rican cars, baby.
Yeah. And then,
the 1.8.
You know, a year later, Mercedes, Ferraris, BMWs, Range Rovers. We all were like, yeah, we make. And then a year after, all the cars were being towed because everything crashed. So these, I was every week to Silicon Valley. I'm talking about money was, you know, .com. We were all making money, stock. Man, I could have been a billionaire. I should have been an early investor in Google. It is what it is. So everything went up, everything crashed. And people were like, the internet is dead.
Yeah.
Bricks and mortars got their revival. What happened? Over time, that is the technology. People are tired of going to the mall. They, you know, 80% of the buying habits are on Amazon, and that's the culture. That is what's happening now. If you don't read the trends and you don't read the times, you're going to be in trouble. So right now, NFTs is the future, but it's here. So you have to be in that space as an artist, because you don't only want to own your digital assets. You want to own your meta assets. You want to own your virtual assets. You want to own your meta world, because Web 3 is where everything is going. Web 1 was just read. Web 1 was read, meaning you went on, remember AOL, you downloaded a file that took forever, you know, Netscape, you know, these days, you know, I've been in it. And then Web 2 was read and write. So you would write, now you can, you know, social media, you can write code, you can write blogs, you can interact. Web 3 is ownership. That means you're going to go into read, write, and owning. That means you're going to own actual digital space. You know, like the FCC, which does it with radio, you know, TV does it with the satellite. You're going to own part of the internet. Once that happens, the game is going to change. And as an artist, if you're not looking at the future, you're going to repeat the past.
Yo, take notes.
If you're not looking at the future, you're going to repeat the past.
Take notes, artist. Pete's dropping some futuristic stuff here, for real, for real. Yeah, like here's the reality. Whether you like crypto or not, and I've, you know, been in that space a little bit, and I'm always trying to learn more in many areas, and that's an area that intrigues me. And I'm continually, like, learning. I'm in a group right now learning about more stuff about crypto and different projects and different ways you can invest in different things. But the reality is, you know, a lot of the banks and the powers that be don't really like crypto, because a lot of it is decentralized. Like Bitcoin and Ethereum is decentralized, meaning nobody controls it. It's on the blockchain. A lot of these crypto projects that have collapsed are because they were centralized. Somebody was in control of them. Someone was moving the money around and did some things they shouldn't have. And then, like, the whole FTX thing that you know, that scandal that happened a few months back, and people lost billions of dollars in total. But the governments around the world that have been watching this space, and many of them are creating their own digital currencies, which are going, some of them have launched, but some of them are going to launch. Even our country is going to launch a digital currency that's going to be on the blockchain. And so that's going to begin to change the way that we even do commerce and everything. Like, we're not going to be walking around with a wallet with debit cards anymore. Like, we're going to have a way to, you know, I mean, a lot of people are using Apple Pay now with their phone, but I think everything is eventually going to go just to where, you know, you're scanning, but it's going to be registered on the blockchain. And they want that because they can see everything. They're going to be able to watch everything you do and everything you buy. And so there's good and there's bad with that. But the bottom line is, the whole digital assets and blockchain and NFTs and all that stuff, it's going to become the norm so much more in the next couple of years. And so, Pete, I want to talk to you about this, man. I want to get your feedback on this. And we could be on here talking for hours, bro. I love talking.
We always do, man.
But, man, talk to us a little bit, because we were talking about this on the phone the other day. Talk to us a little bit about your thoughts on ChatGPT.
So ChatGPT, so, you know, it
ChatGPT. And real quick, like, tell people what that is, because I'm still find that a lot of people haven't, like, heard about it. It's relatively new, so you might learn something new today here. It's a form of AI, so talk about it, Pete. It's the Google.
So, you know, as a publisher, right, you know, for us, it's like, oh, you guys are going to be out of business. Nah, ain't nothing going to get us out of business. It's just going to enhance it. So everything is AI, artificial intelligence, right? Yeah. So it's like, it's the end game. It's Terminator, right? So you think about artificial intelligence is all this data that we've put. Like, 80% of the world's data has been created the last 3 years. You think about...
Wow, say that again, bro. Say that again. Say that for the people in the back.
80% of the world's data was created the last 3 years. That means 5.4 billion people are not on the internet compared to 3 years ago.
So the pandemic was an accelerator.
Oh, yeah. It was an accelerator. You know, Zoom culture, right? So all that data is now, you know, it goes into a knowledge management system. I would sell a software for IBM, which was called Knowledge Management, KM, right? And Knowledge Management would just, you would have a keyword indicator, and then it would go all the way to like books, and then index those books, and then put them in a file. And then everything I would say about the books, it would look it up. That was just knowledge management. That's become now knowledge conscious. Like, so now these systems now read them and they can interpret them because of what we put in. Mm. Artificial intelligence is only based on the data we give it. Okay. ChatGPT will write your data, right? You can literally write a blog, write it out.
Yeah.
What happens is this: Google will reject 87% of AI. Google is going to be in the space. They might acquire ChatGPT, but if people think they can write an article and make it sound humanized, you got a problem. If I use ChatGPT, it's just for data and analytics and understand where the trends are going. Yeah. But that's where the world is going. You're going to have AI. I use AI as an assistant, right?
Yeah.
But still, nothing replaces the human element. So 87% of blogs are going to start being rejected. There's a lot of people writing blogs, and Google is going to understand the algorithms. And the second most search engine is YouTube. I want you to understand this. Okay? Everyone thinks I'm going to write these things and I'm going to have a computer generate human emotion. So eventually Google is going to reject 87%. So all your blogs, I want to be clear, in the next 3 to 5 months, okay, Google is going to start just rejecting everything.
Wow.
No one's got to understand this. Let me record this.
You got me.
So I want you to understand this, right? So AI is important, right? AI is important, but Google is going to eventually, you know, cancel and get rid of all that. Then what's going to happen is all those rejected files, and then now you're going to be indexed like, oh, this site is a scam. So I told all my editors, don't you use the, when we edit a book, we don't use Grammarly. It's the worst thing you can do with Grammarly is like an understanding, right? I use Grammarly to text because I have poor grammar. It's crazy how,
yeah,
I can't edit. I just have a great editing team.
Yeah.
But don't use Grammarly to edit because it suggests awkward word sentences, passive and active words. It doesn't mean that is the actual one.
Yeah.
So when a book gets edited, we know if it's a third party. Google is going to start indexing that. YouTube is the second most, and they're going to be like, they're going to come all the way through those files and then start rejecting, and then they're going to put you into a category like, this person is not authentic, this person is not real. They're going to be like verifications kicked out. Put this on video, and I should have, like,
stuff, bro.
Bro, it's going to happen. So ChatGPT is good. But don't let, if you own a business, don't let that be the end game for you to write a blog.
Yeah.
I was like, let me try a blog and excuses. It was pretty, pretty good.
Yeah.
But there were certain things and certain words that were used that looked like they were computerized.
Yeah.
So, you know, you want to make sure that these AIs are an assistant, right? AI is made to assist you, not to change you. There's going to be a lot of people talking about it. There's going to be a lot of stuff because we're in the culture now. When I had to study, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. I had to get a book, right? And then I had to get an index book.
We had to do the Dewey Decimal System. What?
Exactly. And you would like, you had to read the book, you had to study. So that learning system was more, it was more based on wisdom, and then knowledge was erupted. All this stuff, bro, is just knowledge. There's no wisdom behind it. And if there's no wisdom behind it, it's gonna fall. AI is going nowhere, is the future, just like NFTs, but you got to know how to use it. If not, as companies, I literally have been watching a couple of these blogs pop up and I'm like, nope. I'm like, yeah. I still hire someone to do my blogs. I write them back and forth.
I'm going to play devil's advocate for a second.
Yeah.
Now, I read something, and of course, you can't believe everything you read on the internet, right? But I read something that said they are going to release later this year, a version of ChatGPT that's like 500 times better than the one that we have now. So just walk with me for a second. If they're releasing this now, this technology that's free, like, what does big tech have in their back pocket? What does you know, some of the governments and whoever, some of the powers that have been developing with some of this technology for a long time, what are they already, if they're releasing this to the public and we're like, oh my gosh, wow, look what this does. Like, is there something around the corner that really is going to take it to that level that's like, yo, like, what's your thoughts on that, bro?
We are enhancing AI right now. Okay. So we are teaching the AI how it should work.
Yeah.
Like all these users, these are case studies, right? Before you launch a product, you do a beta. All these betas is all these, I mean, they're smart people right now. They're telling the AI how it works. So we're training this robot right now. So ChatGPT, you know, it's going to come up with a better version because all those millions of people are training it now. They're training it how it interacts, how it should answer. They're like, oh, that's the wrong answer. You need to add. So now it takes all that data. It works 24/7. It doesn't get tired. It doesn't stop thinking.
Doesn't need education.
Yeah, it's based on instinct. We're different from animals because human our thoughts are based on intellect, where animals are based on instinct, right? So these AIs are instinctive on how we tell it to think. So that's why ChatGPT is going to come out with a ridiculous model because we're the ones fixing it. That's why it's free.
Yeah,
I don't know who's behind it. There's a guy behind it. You know, Google, you know, Facebook, you know, all these
things. And it sounds like, and I'm thinking like just business-wise, it sounds like that's good business for them to release this free to the general public, and the general public is going to do all the work for free and
exactly
this thing and make it better and better and better. And then, you know, I don't know, maybe down the road they'll maybe launch some like subscription fees if you have a different level of it or something. They're going to have to monetize it, I would imagine or guess, in some way in the future.
Yeah No, there's versions now that you could plug in that open source and people monetizing it right now. I've seen companies like, hey, integrate ChatGPT with your calendar and, you know, it's going to run $29 a month. You know, listen, you can publish for free, right? I tell people, you don't need us. Go publish.
Yeah.
But you know, cheap is expensive. Like, I could change the oil in my car, but I'm crazy because I had a friend of mine change his oil in his car. He forgot the plug and then his car, his transmission was violated, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to go under a car where it costs me $30 to do. Like, I could Google how to do a surgery.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do my own open heart. There's certain things that if you want a level of excellence and a level of expertise, you got to pay for it. Yeah. I said it one time and we did it together. Everyone's got a dream until you tell them they have to finance it, right? Everyone's got money until you send them an invoice.
Yeah, the dream is free. The hustle.
Right? It's so like, how many people I've been talking to? Yeah. It's funny. The ones that act like they got money never have it. Right?
Yeah.
And these people, so you're like, true, they don't have it. Yeah.
And they're flossing. So, they got all the stuff and, you know, they got the brands on and the this and that. And, you know, and then at the end of the day, when it comes to it, like, yeah, I can't do that right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
I'm like, I'll
put
a payment plan and they can't even make it.
They're investing in the wrong things.
Exactly.
There's nothing wrong with having nice stuff. But you need to invest in yourself and invest in things that are going to make a real impact.
And you know what I'm doing now, bro? I'm not going to be promoting. I'm not wearing Nike shirts. I'm not wearing Adidas shirts. I'm not wearing Versace, which I'm wearing my own brand, right? I'm going to brand my own stuff. Every time I go on, it's my brand because I invested in my brand. So you're going to see Publify. You're going to see Bookzar. You're going to see publishing this. I'm going to do t-shirt giveaways, no excuses. That's my brand, and I'm going to invest in it. It cost me $10 to make a t-shirt, and I can sell it for $20. You know, that's where we're going now.
Yeah.
Like, I think you need to brand yourself. That's another thing that people don't understand. Like, brand yourself, invest in that. You know, like, I had a friend of mine, he did a podcast with a Nike show. I'm like, yo, wear your own t-shirt. Nike ain't going to give you no money for that.
Yeah.
You know, so that's
yeah. Anywhere I go to speak, I got one of my eternal jackets on, my denim jackets.
Yes,
I know you be rocking yours a lot. And
yeah.
And then I just wear a lot of stuff that we have in our store at our church. You know, we have a store that has a bunch of different, you know, Christian clothing lines. And I rock those. Even when I'm speaking, I rock those. A lot of times people are like, where'd you get that at? I'm like, I got it over there in the lobby.
That's it.
You know,
right up the block.
Like, oh, yo, I'm going to go grab one. And so, yeah. So that's good, bro. That's good stuff, man. Well, hey, again, y'all, I just want to plug one more time our workshop. Peter and I are going to be doing a workshop on Thursday night, February the 2nd. So whether you're watching this live or on the replay, it's going to be called Why You Should Write Your Book This Year. We're going to give you 5 reasons why you should write it and 5 like hurdles that you have to get over. That's why you haven't written a book yet, because there's some hurdles there, and we want to help you like overcome those things and push you, you know, into your purpose. And so there's a link in the bio. You can sign up. It's a free webinar. And jump in there with me and Pete. Share it with some people as well. And yeah, it's gonna be some good stuff, man. I'm excited, Pete.
I'm looking for it's so it's next Thursday.
Next Thursday, man. Did you put it in your calendar, bro?
Yeah, I have it. I just thought it was like February's here already, bro.
February's here already, man. Can you believe like January is already like slipping through our fingers? It's almost gone, man. But it's been a good month, man. Really good.
Time waits for no one, my friend.
Good
time
waits for no one. The new year so far, man. And so it's been it's been some good stuff. Well, yeah.
Well, man, I'm excited, man. I would recommend you guys just show up. If you care about your brand, because people think, well, I'm not writing a book. Now, we drop so much branding stuff. You know, a lot of people charge for the stuff we give. So it's going to be a good webinar. There's an offer code. I think a few people have signed up already. The testimonials are going to be great. So we definitely want to invite you to that next Thursday at 8:00 Eastern time. It's going to be fire. Trust me.
It's going down with me and my guy, Pete. So, hey, before we get out of here, Pete, I'm going to have you pray for us in a second, bro. But before we get out of here, I just want to remind everybody that's watching. We made a big announcement last week. I was in New York City, your hometown, last week, Pete.
That's right.
And I wasn't able to do the podcast here on YouTube. We tried to make it work, but me and the other person that were on there, we couldn't figure it out. So we went on IG Live, and I'm going to try to figure out how to record that and get it here on the YouTube channel as well and push it out to all the platforms for podcasts. But I was on with my guy, Jerry Flowers, had a great interview, so look for that. It is coming. But we announced last Friday, and we had like 400 or 500 people that were on that live on IG.
Awesome.
So there was a lot of people that were on there. Jerry invited all his people, and he's got a couple hundred thousand people that follow him on IG. So a lot of people heard about Flavor Fest. So a lot of new people, which was great. But here's the big announcement if you missed it. Flavor Fest is going on tour in 2023. First time ever. We've been doing it over 2 decades, and people have asked us for a long time, like, yo, come to my city. We want to do a Flavor Fest in the West Coast. We want to do one here. So we are going to 5 cities in 2023. So
the Flavor Fest tour?
Let me give you the dates. It's going to be called Flavor Fest Summit. So they're really like one-day events. We're going to have a couple general sessions. We're going to have some breakout workshops, and then we're going to have a concert in the evening. So it's going to be one day. So New York City, your hometown, Pete.
Let's go. That's
where we're going first. And I went and walked the facility that we're renting. It's Elohim Christian Center in Queens. Big facility, great technology. They got an LED wall. They got a gym. They got several breakout rooms, a lot of space. Pete, they have something that's prime in New York City. They have parking.
So no,
they do.
That's
have some
crazy.
Parking. Only like they're like, we got like 25 spaces. I'm like,
hey,
wow, really? They're like, you know, but most churches have no parking.
100,000 a month, man.
most of them have no parking, but they're right by the train. They're in Queens, and so that's going to be April the 22nd. Is going to be Flavor Fest New York City. We're partnering with Urban Youth Workers Institute. We're partnering with Thrivent Financial. We have some great sponsors and partners that have already come alongside of us, so it's going to be super affordable. And then we'll be in Los Angeles, City of Angels, May 5th and the 6th. We're partnering with City to City Church Planting and Thrivent Financial there as well. That's going to actually be kind of a 2-day event. Friday night, it's going to kick off with a general session and a concert. We got Miles Minnick. We locked him in. Bunch of LA artists. New York City is going to have a bunch of New York City artists. That's going to be a phenomenal. And then Saturday, the 6th of May, it'll be general sessions and workshops. No concert that night because it's concerts Friday night. In June, we're going to be in the ATL. In the A, we're going to be partnering with Crossover Church ATL. We'll be doing Flavor Fest Summit June the 10th in Atlanta. And then we will be in H-Town, Houston, Texas, July the 15th. And so that's our four cities outside of Tampa, coming back home to Tampa, November the 2nd through the 4th. We're pushing it back a little bit farther, get away from hurricane season. And that'll be the full conference that will be here in Tampa. So, y'all, it's going to be a big year. We are rebranding. We're changing the narrative about the church. We're taking that on a national initiative to help other churches rebrand. We know a lot of churches have been struggling since the pandemic. They're not back to where they used to be. There's not momentum. The morale is down. Leaders are tired. They need new ideas, fresh ideas, innovation, hope, fellowship, resources. And we just need to have some fun. So we're taking it to you guys, to your cities. So flavorfest.org is going to have all the details on how to register for those things. Artist submissions will be up soon. It's not up yet when we're doing this podcast today at the end of January, but early February, the website will be live. You'll be able to register for those cities. Bring your teams. If we're coming to your city, bring everybody. It's going to be incredible. You're not going to have to get on a flight or jump in the car and drive 20 hours to Florida. We want you to come to Florida too, but we know everybody can't afford to come or doesn't have the time to come. But so that's why we're taking it to city. So our goal, normally we train about 350 to 400 leaders every year. Our goal is to train 1,000 plus leaders in 2023 in the urban context. So it's going to be big, Pete.
Listen, man, let me know when you get to New York again. I'll get you a Times Square billboard. Let's go, bro. Yeah, do a little content there.
You got a deal, man. Content. You got all the connections, bro. You do, man.
You know, Solomon said relationships are greater than gold, man. Like, you got the right relationships to open doors.
You connected me with some pastors in Jersey the other day from the Hope Center, Pastor Mario, and then Pastor Jonathan.
And
they're all coming. They're all excited about Flavor Fest in April.
Oh yeah.
And they're like, we're coming,
I definitely tell my brother about it.
Let us know, man. We're gonna bring our whole teams. We really want to learn from you guys and what you're doing. And so, Crossover Church, right now we are thriving and growing. We are in the best season we've ever been coming out of the pandemic, and it's Florida. It helps that we're in Florida, but we put a lot of very intentional things in place the last 2 years, and it's paid off. And we've been working hard. And we've been doing some new systems and new things that we're going to be sharing. We now have more people coming to church than we did 3 years ago before the pandemic started.
That's crazy.
We have more people coming.
I've seen it.
30 first-time visitors every Sunday, 30 families every Sunday. Our budget is over 35% higher than it was 3 years ago. So we're a new church in a whole new place. But we've done a lot of intentional things, and that's what we want to share with other church leaders through Flavor Fest in 2023. Listen, God's not done with the church, y'all. He's not. Some of y'all might be like, man, the pandemic like destroyed the church. And, you know, there's an article that came out a few weeks ago in a major news outlet that said 1/3 of church attendance is gone since the pandemic is over, which means most churches are just 2/3 of what they used to be. So it can look pretty like hopeless and bleak and bad. But I want to let you know, like, man, it's a great time to reach people for Jesus. People are open to the gospel, and God is doing some exciting things. But you got to shift and do some brand new things, and that's the kind of content we want to regularly bring you here on this podcast. So, So, Pete, where can people find you, man? Any closing words, and where can we find
you? Yeah, man, like, you could. I have a big, big on LinkedIn, Peter Lopez, but you can look me at XP Lopez Jr., just XP Lopez Jr., no underscore, nothing. I think people think I'm important. I've gotten like 5 or 6 fake websites. PeterLopezJr.com is my personal author website. And then Publify Press, if you want to get published down the road, Publify, P-U-B-L-I-F-Y, press.com. And yeah, man, so those outlets, if you have any questions, you can send us an email. And just if you put, I saw you on the Urban podcast, YouTube, we'll give you a 25% off. So definitely, for sure.
Ooh, what's up? What's up, man? So give it up for my guy, Peter Lopez. Yeah. I play with my toys a little bit, man. So, yo, Pete, why don't you pray for us today, man? Pray for all the leaders that are watching this live or on the replay. I know we got people that regularly watch that are pastors, church planners, nonprofit leaders. We got a lot of artists, a lot of entrepreneurs. We got some authors and hopefully a lot of future authors, right?
Yes. The dead rule the world today because of what we wrote yesterday. Imagine if they no one ever wrote the Bible, where would we be today, right? So that's important. Books are life, you know? So let's pray for leadership. We need more people. We need more people on the front line. So Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for Tommy. We thank you for this awesome YouTube. Lord, we pray for all these leaders to come, leaders that are being built. We know that no matter what affliction brings, it all births wisdom. So we pray for wisdom and knowledge and understanding. We also pray for family members going through a lot of stress, a lot of issues, post-pandemic, PTSD. We pray for them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Pete, for jumping in today, man. So, yo, next Thursday night, link is in the bio. Jump in the webinar if you're interested in learning about writing a book this year. We want to help you, push you to your purpose. And stay tuned to flavorfest.org. All the details and registration for the Flavor Fest tour for 2023 are coming really soon, early February. So,
can't wait. I'm excited. I'm definitely making a few of those.
Yeah, stay tapped in. God bless you guys. Have an incredible weekend. We out.
Thanks for tuning into the Flavor Fest Urban Leadership Podcast. Stay connected with us on social media at UrbanD813 and at Flavor Fest. We'll talk to you guys next week. Peace and God bless.